Yeah, it's Skyline. It's for the library. It's all voluntary. There have librarians, if they want to go, they have to put in a request. It's not encouraged at all. There's only one librarian I know of who has gone a couple times because she was working on the archives, and you can't really work on that from home. But other than that, I think everybody's been, for the librarians have been at home. For the staff, there's been three of us who have gone at different times. We don't go at the same time, and it's totally voluntary. Our union kindly has arranged that we have a 15% shift differential if we work on campus, because of the extra possibility of something. But otherwise, yeah, and it's not been a lot by any means. I've probably been the one there the most. But yeah, it's not frequent. And I did find that email. So I forwarded it to you, Rebecca, but for everybody else, there is an option called no change to due date in the terms of use that you can put in if you want to have a loan period where the dates do not shift based on the open close days. So you can set it for however many days you want, and then you select that no change to due date option. So, have people run into issues with hoping or wanting staff to go to campus and people saying no, or people being pushing back on that kind of thing?
We haven't had any pushback yet, but with winter quarter, I know the administration is kind of getting a little itchy because of the Wi-Fi situation in town and expecting students to sit in their cars in the snow is not a very positive something that anybody really wants to have to do. But we really don't have the staff to even open up for like study hall style opening.
What's the name of the avenue?
So I don't know if they're gonna push harder with our county being in purple. I don't know if they really even have, if they can do that or not, but that's where we're at.
Yeah, we have something similar where, I mean, we don't have snow and winter in the way you do, but it can get pretty cold and yucky up at Skyline. And so one of the vice chancellors actually for the district is pushing for having a place on each of the campuses where people could come in, where students could come in to take advantage of the Wi-Fi inside, but they would have to have their own device, or if they didn't, they would check out one of our devices and then they would have it for the semester, because that's how we do the technology, it's for the semester. And so the library is not the place to do that. That's what they were hoping. And our building is not suited to that. It's the ventilation is very bad. You cannot open the windows. The trying to keep it clean, sanitize in a way that would be safe and sanitized, it would be no. And our learning center is even worse. It's in a place where there are no windows at all, and it's got a low ceiling. And I mean, it would be a disaster. So there's a new building that just opened. And open at the beginning of now 2019, maybe toward the end of 2019, fancy new green building, lots of big area open spaces. And so we're like, and the Wi-Fi is great there because it's a new building. So we're like, hey, you could put some tables in there, really spread people out, and it would be really safe. So that's what they're looking at right now. That be something maybe starting in, you know, late January or February, you know, COVID permitting, right? But that's what they're looking at, and how it would be staffed at this point, whether it would be us library staff. I mean, there's only three of us that would take turns with shifts, or whether they would have public safety do it. I'm not sure. That's all up in the area.
On our campus, we have a computer lab open. It's several computer labs actually open for students to be inside the buildings and work, use computers, print materials if they need to. Printing is free right now. Yep. So the schedule is Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. I know that they had scheduling problems before the Thanksgiving holiday, but they continue working. And this is the last week, but they were open pretty much the whole semester. There were not so many students coming to the computer lab, but it was they had a steady amount of students every day, because some projects require a PC instead of a MacBook. So, or a person needed to print something. So, I personally got phone calls asking, like, where can I print, or where can I use a PC on campus? So, I think I'm pretty sure that even with the, I don't actually know, I'm not sure, but maybe something will change in the next semester with the increased number of COVID cases, but we'll see.
Tatiana, I have a question. These computer labs, did they need to space the stations? In other words, I picture a computer lab with computer after computer.
Yeah.
How did they handle that?
So at the very, very beginning of pandemic, all the way in March, maintenance and operations, they walked around the whole campus and marked each area that is allowed. As you said, you know, they put like a crisscross on each desk or a computer station. So they marked everything on campus, and they did the same for computer labs. So a certain amount of students allowed to be in the same room. I think it's up to six people because of the size of the lab. There is a space in between. They are required to wear face mask and they put like hand sanitizer while entering.
Right. And did you use an appointment system, or is it just first come, first serve?
Yeah, for the lab, it's first come, first serve.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because early on when the pandemic started, I requested our maintenance and operation to actually do the same thing that you just explained, Tatiana. Mm-hmm. And I asked them if they could put plexiglass between mm-hmm. the computers. But I think the ordering took so long, but I received words, we cannot do that because we have only maybe two computer labs on campus and they are in the library. So they didn't let us do that. They were considering putting like some sort of those temporary buildings and have few computers available, but then the Wi-Fi was an issue and securing the area and everything was an issue, so they didn't do it. But I just got a word that they did order plexiglass for our circulation desk and the reference desk. So they are going to install those for when we plan to go back, we will have those permanently in the area, I think, in the library.
Oh, I see. Thank you, Barissa, for mentioning about plexiglasses. Yeah, we have those two in the library, and I know that they have some in computer labs, but not in between the computer station. It's mainly for the front desk. And for the library, we have plexiglasses, but they're not permanently installed. You know, they are actually, they're very easy to move and easy to fall. You know, if you accidentally hit, it will just fall on the ground. So probably they didn't want to install it permanently, but I don't see why they didn't. You know, it's a good thing to keep even when we out of pandemic. I don't know.
I think what we'll end up doing, and we're a three-story library. It's a four-story building, but the library occupies the three top stories. And we're thinking, so there are probably 280 computer stations, or there are 280 computer stations. So it sounds like what you're doing to marking off, and only allow 6 feet, you know, there has to be a 6 foot difference between one and the other. So I think that will mean we'll lose two computer stations in between. You know, it will be every fourth computer, or, you know, so that's going to be interesting. This is when we come back, you know, obviously we're not open now, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm curious if the safety measures, when we come back on campuses, if the safety measures will be still in place. I'm just wondering, like 6 feet and wearing mask, or when pandemic is over, it's over. I don't know. It's just how it's gonna be, how it will alter the way how we work, the way how we serve students, the way how we operate, you know, circulating materials and like spacing in between computers, etc. How many people can be in a study room? You know, study room is a small space, and I don't know if it's gonna change forever. Just wondering.
Yeah, our study rooms don't have windows, there is no ventilation. All those are issues that we have, you know. They are very, very small. We usually don't let more than five people in there because they are very small. So that is going to be an issue, I think.
Anybody else have anything to contribute on the current topic? If not, Kathy has brought up a question. And by the way, Lori had to go to a meeting, so I'm helping her out by keeping the conversation going.
Thank you, Lisa.
Okay. Well, let's see what Kathy wrote. Anybody's technology distribution plans for the spring change due to the stay-at-home order? We are planning to go ahead with our big technology and reserves distribution the first week of January. So I can start with that. Again, like I said, we were all planning to start going to work, and then the stay-at-home order went into place. And so we are going to have our distribution pop-up events happen. So I'm very happy for that, because that's all we've been doing is planning to open. And we are very nervous that all of our work would still be on hold. So we are going to do that. They are drive ups in a parking lot. So patrons need to stay in their car so they don't have to do temperature checks. Everybody has to wear their mask. Returns are going to be given to us. We're going to be holding trays for them to put it in. I mean, we're going to have our mask and gloves. We just couldn't find another way to receive them. We don't have return bins. We didn't want them flying their books into, you know, random boxes. So that's what we're doing, returns. But distribution, yeah, we are asking them to show their ID or their driver's license through the window and for them to either roll their back passenger seat, the window down so we can put their items in without actually, you know, less face-to-face contact, or to open their trunk and then we will put their items in the trunk and then close their trunk. That is our plan for distribution / last minute returns. Anybody else?
Go ahead, Parisa. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Tatiana.
Okay, so for the spring semester, I think, I know that we will stay with the same distribution model, which is appointment. Students book an appointment and it's a 15 minute slot. And I think they have they allow up to three people be in the hallway where they check out technology. So the plan is to work the week before semester starts, which is the week of January 18th. If the time is not in, the time slots are not enough, continue the first week of the semester. And the same for the library materials. We check out books to learning community. Learning communities. It will be happening simultaneously in different locations on the campus with the safety measures in place. And we're still thinking how we're gonna organize it. You know, we want to open up two entrances. One is entrance and one is exit, so students will not bump into each other, make it like a checkout system. We'll see, but that's the plan.
We are extending our current due date to June, so we are not going to have any returns. We are going to have distribution for technology, but we decided that we do not have curbside pickup anymore because that's what we had in the fall. So what we are going to do, we are going to mail the devices, only technology. The devices we are going to mail to our students. They have to apply and then we confirm their enrollment for the semester, and then we check out the device to them until the end of the semester, which is June. So that's how we are going to do it. Our president does not want us to go back to college because it's getting colder and the cases are increasing. So she does not feel comfortable having anyone to come to campus anymore. So we are going to mail the devices.
Parisa, I'm wondering how many devices will you distribute that way?
So we purchased 800 Chromebooks.
Uh-huh.
And we have given out maybe about 250. We have another 50 that they have applied. Many of our students actually decided that they were going to take some time off. So our enrollment has, you know, decreased. But I just surveyed our students to see if anyone needs devices, and the, a lot of students, they are using their phones and they are in favor of receiving a Chromebook. So we are going to coordinate with them to mail out. But to be honest with you, my dean, the library dean, she suggested that maybe a group of us would get together and we deliver. Our president ended up delivering a few laptops herself because some of our students, they were housebound due to disability or, you know, health risk and everything. So our president decided to take those and she delivered them herself to those students. So then after that, my dean and myself, we volunteered ourselves. So depending on how many students need and then the area that we can cover, we may, you know, mail some and deliver some, but we haven't discussed it yet.
Wow, yeah, it's great.
Well, looking at the chat, it looks like a lot of you are just continuing what you're doing currently into the spring. A lot of you are doing appointments in order to do pickups. But it's interesting, Parisa, about doing mail outs and home delivery. I think we brought that up from the get-go and we just got shut down. That they see it as being in contact with other people, even though, you know, you would drop it off at their front door. That was too much for our being to consider. So we're going baby steps.
So 68% of our students actually are below poverty line, and most of our students do not have a car. Mm-hmm. What we found out was that they just cannot take the public transportation to come to college to pick up a device. So after like being out there for almost 2.5 months, we realized that it's not doable. Students need, I mean, my staff, the library staff, they called students one by one, those who had applied. And students said that they still need the device. They just cannot make it. They either have small children, they have to work, or they just cannot leave their house. They don't have any car. So I think that for my college, at least it makes more sense if we mail out the devices or deliver, because otherwise our students are not going to be able to come to campus.
Those are really good points. I don't think that was brought up while we were talking about home delivery. I think it was just a random idea that someone had, but you know, to make it equitable for our students, I might bring that up the next time.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I agree with Lisa. Very good point about being equitable for the students who are not actually able to come, you know. Yeah, a very good point. I will bring this up to our group and maybe a committee, equity committee. Parisa, the question here, how would you identify the students who, it's like your distribution is only delivering, right? That's why you don't need to identify students who need delivery or who doesn't. You just do it for everyone, right?
Well, at the beginning, we actually identified because our students, they do have to submit an application for the device. So I saw the same name popping up. So they were submitting the application on their phone constantly thinking that we didn't receive it. So when I contacted the student, they said that one of them was using oxygen, right? So she said that she had no way of getting out of the house. So then those three or five that we delivered, we actually spoke to them first, and then our president delivered on a Saturday. But for the rest of the ones that have applied, we made calls to make sure that they still need the device. A couple of them, for example, said that they had purchased or they received from another source. So we removed those. But since we are not going to be on campus, if they are enrolled, we are just going to either mail or deliver, depending on, you know, if they live close by, we may deliver. If they live like somewhere that it's not that close, we think about mailing. But mailing is expensive. It's like, because it's heavy, devices are heavy, right? So they are expensive, but we are going to use the CARES Act funding to mail.
Good, thank you. Very good points. I will make sure to bring them up. And CARES fund is okay to use for these purposes, right? Okay,
that's yes, there a good was a, thing there, to know. There too. Was a letter from the chancellor a couple of weeks ago that it was about, I can send it to the group if you haven't seen it. There was a letter that the colleges can use any source of funding such as Prop 20, CARES Act, or any other funding that they have to provide technology support for faculty, staff, and students. So they named CARES Act on the letter. So if anyone wants it, let me know and I can share it with you. I can put my email in the chat.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else on the same topic? Jamie has a question. Oh, okay. So Jamie is asking, for those of you who have been doing distribution and or returns by appointment, what was the reasoning behind choosing appointments as opposed to offering set service hours?
I can respond to Jamie's question. So at PCC, we did start with scheduled days for the first 2 weeks of fall, and we wanted to gauge what the foot traffic would be. And after the 2 weeks passed, we determined that sitting, because we had like 4 hour blocks per day, and we had our classified staff sitting with the kind of makeshift checkout stations at the south entrance. And we determined that having staff sit there for long periods of time with no foot traffic might not be the best use of time when they could be maybe working on other projects in the library. So we did offer scheduled times like the first 2 weeks, and then we transitioned into appointment and changed the wording on our remote services LibGuide to let students know that once they're hold request were ready for pickup and they received the email notification that they were to email the circulation email to set up a time and work with a staff member currently in the building at that time. So we do have classified staff who check our circulation email daily so that they can respond to set up the appointment. And for winter, because it's only a 6 week session, we're only planning to do like the first week, and then we'll segue into appointment. Now that's always flexible because if winter, let's say in winter, it turns out that we have a lot of foot traffic the first week, we might have to make adjustments and be flexible and maybe extend our scheduled times. But so far we haven't seen a lot of foot traffic.
One of the reasons for us to go with the appointment system was to control the amount of people in the building at the same time. We not allowed to have more than 10 people in the building. We were thinking that appointment system provides us this kind of control over the number of people. As Lena said, planning ahead what you can do within the time frame that you don't have people, you know, it provides more predictability
We were kind of the same at CCSF, that we wanted to, like, we didn't want people to be piling up outside on one day, making a big line, because we don't have any, we don't allow anybody into the building except for the employees that were approved to come into work on our two chosen days. But we don't have any markings outside for distancing, to keep patrons from like gathering together in a group. So we wanted to make sure that we had specific appointment times that we could plan ahead for, have the materials ready, and it would just be that person. We have had people show up early or late to their appointments, and then there were more than one person at a time. And I don't think you can really avoid that. But I think it helps to not have everybody showing up like during one specific time.
Yeah, we tried the LibCal system, I believe in the beginning of fall, and we thought it would stagger folks, but we just didn't get a huge turnout. And we speculated that it might be transportation issues, maybe the fear of coming to campus, not feeling safe because of the pandemic. And so we surprisingly didn't get as many students, even when they made an appointment in LibCal, a lot of them didn't show up. Fortunately, the setup that we have, like I think Amanda mentioned that folks aren't allowed in the building, and the same thing at PCC, where we have the south entrance blocked off with the makeshift stations, so that students just come up to the door, and we have plexiglass that our dean purchased. It's not permanent plexiglass, it's removable. But fortunately, the way the outside is situated is that there's plenty of space. We actually face a quad area. And so we were able to get some signage up, and we were able to kind of, the classified staff who was there beforehand, they were able to kind of set up markers on the ground. So we kind of had the distancing and things of that sort set up ahead of time. But again, we ended up not getting the amount of traffic that we were anticipating. So it may change in winter and spring. This was, you know, obviously like the first semester that we've tried this. So it might be different moving forward.
We have a similar situation at COS. We have our own building. We have glass doors that open up into a quad. So we come up to the door. We actually have a sign that says call a number or knock. And so staff can actually be working on something else, and we can just walk over to the front door. So therefore, during the semester, we have blocks of time, because we're going to be staffed in the building anyways, but we can work on other things. So what we've found is that it gives students flexibility to be able to show up on a specific day. I think we do Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. So it's Monday and Wednesday, 1 to 7 p.m., and then Saturday, 9 to noon. So it gives people that have kids, childcare issues, transportation, it gives them nice big blocks to be able to get to campus, to be able to check out. And that's just one of our campuses. We have two others where it's more scheduled and more tight because we don't have the staff out there. But we found that if we give students just a little bit of time, they're gonna miss it, or they just kind of show up whenever, or they forget when it is. So we wanted to give them a good block of time. And we found that most students just, it doesn't take long to check out. So even if we do have a line, we have it spaced out, we have the markers down and signage. And I think the most, in the busiest day on the fall, I think we had at most 6 people in line. And that was, we always tell them to come by themselves and with a mask and an ID. And we just grab another staff member. We have 2 sliding doors. So we can actually have somebody at one door and somebody at the other, kind of grabbing 2 people at a time and still be 6 feet apart. So we're a little lucky in our setup to kind of allow that more open distribution and collection.
just wanted to remind everybody we have 6 minutes left. So if you have any other questions, pop in or put it in the chat. I can speak for having a set amount of time for pickups and distribution. And I think it's because we are only having pop-up events. We are not open. We are not working on campus. Students don't have to get out of their cars. We're all masked up. So the first time we did it, we weren't very successful. 25 students were supposed to show up and only 4 of them did. But our second distribution event, it had to do with hotspots and had free service for a semester. A lot of them showed up and it was consistent. We didn't have a long line of cars waiting. But that's why we have set times instead of appointments, just because of our setup. We're not working through the library. We're working from a parking lot. Lori also reminded me to let all of you know we do have a 4 p.m. session as well if you want to continue asking questions if we run out of time. Anybody else have questions they want to talk about?
I'm thinking at the 4 o'clock meeting to bring up a very interesting topic of utilizing ALMA for distribution, for technology distribution that is held by IT department. You know, that's the cooperation between library and IT that we having right now. And we will see how it goes, but we're planning to use ALMA for, distributing laptops, et cetera.
That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I think Kimber, your college distributes all kinds of stuff, right? Not just
we've done technology. Everything from art easels to chemistry molecules and body parts for A&P.
Yeah, so that'll be a good topic.
A meeting tomorrow with our distribution team about policies for Chromebook returns and renewals and all of that. So I'm interested in the process, especially Santa Rosa that has turned on the automatic renewals, because we're doing all of that manually. I mean, granted, our student population is minuscule in comparison to the volume, I'm sure that you have, but we're lucky that we have a distribution department. It is also separate from the library, but very entwined with the library. So it takes a little bit of a stress off of us as far as staffing.
Will you be joining us at 4 p.m. or not?
I probably will. Just because okay. I think
just good to know. I know that our library is starting to do that. I shared what your college did. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, my dean starts emailing from all different departments. Can you please help with their science rock kits, math kits? And now faculty and staff IT is hearing about this. So our distribution is getting bigger, but that's good. We are collaborating. So
yeah, we're eventually going to be moving that into the library. The main entrance of our campus walks right in front of the front door of the library. So they're putting a secured where you check in right in front of the library doors. So we'll be able to distribute to that area.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely talk about that at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Thank you.
Okay, I have to remind myself to unrecord, recording. So thank you everybody for joining. I'll hang out for the last minute and I will see you at 4 p.m.
All right, bye.
See you.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey.
So I think
I unrecord
to start the recording right away, but I'm